Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan at 10:30. FanGraphs gives the percentage chance that every team headed to the playoffs is going to win the World Series. Their percentage chance for the Nationals, way lower than I would have thought. We'll get into that coming up in about 12 minutes. Joel Corey on the brand new record contract for Matt Stafford and what it means for the Redskins and Kirk Cousins at 11. We're talking about the team's D-line right now, though. They lose Phil Taylor for the season. They don't really have a true nose tackle with any proven NFL experience. What is the state of this D-line? What are your expectations for this group this year? Last year, it was a struggle, obviously. One of the reasons they didn't make the playoffs, that Week 17 game against the Giants, New York ran it down Washington's throat in Week 17, ran for over 130 yards. They could not stop a bad rushing offense with the season on the line. And that was a problem for off and on major stretches of last season. But you look at the personnel now. They drafted Jonathan Allen. They signed Stacy McGee, who's been okay. They've signed Terrell McClain, who hasn't done really anything to speak of in the preseason. And now their biggest upgrade, Phil Taylor, is out for the year. So you're looking at guys like A.J. Francis from Maryland, who's bounced all over the league the last few years. Joey Mbuz, an unknown commodity. Kendrick Golston, still local, just sitting here working out. That's the kind of guy at 34 years old I'd call. Danny, you mean to tell me if you just need someone to stand over top the center and
Yeah, what do you want him to do?
I mean, he can't be as good as A.J. Francis or Joey Mbuz?
So this is a group that over the last 2 years has the worst yards per rush allowed of any team in football when you combine their last two-year totals. That stands out. And as you know, I care way less about running the football than I do about what you do when everyone knows you're passing. Stopping the pass is what this league is at this point. All the old school football guys love to shout about getting low, firing off, stopping the run, being physical, play your gaps, blah, blah, blah. When it's third and nine, can the other team get first downs? Last year we saw what happened when this group couldn't do it. I think this is all about the defensive line. I have screamed for years. We need nothing but Jonathan Allen. We need a whole series of drafts dedicated to finding more and more and more Jonathan Allen. They started this past year. I give them credit for that. It's too late. You need more of this. No more, you know, guy that was okay in a different scheme coming over, giving you a couple good years. No, I mean, Barry Cofield was a perfectly fine player, but you get these Jason Hatcher situations, the Steven Paez, enough. You need a young, hungry, homegrown defensive line to be the hallmark of your team. The Redskins haven't done that.
And there's a couple different things here too, Danny. Like, you mentioned Jonathan Allen, right? Jonathan Allen's not going to be a great pass rusher this year. I keep hearing people talk about his pass rushing, and hopefully he's going to get to the quarterback a few times, right? You don't pay defensive linemen in this scheme to get to the quarterback per se, but there are multiple ways of doing a 3-4. Like, if you're an elite player, or if you're a down defensive lineman, even in a 43, you're Aaron Donald at tackle, you are J.J. Watt, then you can both be a run stuffer and a great pass rusher and a pocket collapser, as I like to call it. Jonathan Allen hasn't really shown this preseason much of the pass rush pocket collapsing. What he's done is he's been really stout on the defensive line, and I think that's a good floor to have. If you're going to be good against the run, sound up front, not give up huge creases and gaps that are getting exploited in the running game, I can live with that. And I'm with you on Allen, but I don't think they have a single guy right now on this defensive line who can rush the quarterback.
Yeah, they don't have anybody, and that's my biggest problem, because quarterbacks will have a ton of time. Outside rushers, you can scheme it up. You can chip. You can do a bunch of different things. Quarterbacks can step up. I want that ability removed. I need havoc creators on the defensive line, and they have not done that. They tried to do it with Albert Haynesworth. Again, different scheme, different everything. They took a guy from a 43, put him in a different scheme. Now, Haynesworth has his own faults there. Please try hard, just at a minimum. Even if you think you're being mispositioned, please do what you're supposed to do. Sidetrack. They don't have enough on the defensive line. This is a major blow.
Stephen Bowen, pre-knee injury, could rush the quarterback a little bit.
Yeah.
And he was going to go get you five
Carricker
and a half,
six Carricker had his five, yeah.
Adam Carricker had a season before all his injuries where he could rush a little bit. Chris Baker's in a great example of what I'm talking about. That's a guy with pass rushing skills who could collapse the pocket. With him gone, they do not really have that guy this year. Even the guys on this D-line I like Ziggy Hood. Ziggy Hood's not going to rush the quarterback. They don't have anyone who's going to get you five and a half sacks up front if Jonathan Allen doesn't, and there's really no reason to believe based on three preseason games that he'll be that guy right away. Takes a little bit of time. Jay's in D.C. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? This is going to sound crazy, but I'm Tressway punting on the season, man. No Puma, because, I mean, I've been waiting like since we even started this 3-4 to have a nose tackle. And he was like the only guy. If we don't have a nose tackle, I know they're going to keep six. And they're not going to keep Francis or Mbu. They're just going to keep the six regular defensive linemen. And they're going to keep McGee. And I feel like McGee – I feel the same way I felt about Baker as I feel about McGee. Like, I'm kind of pissed at those guys for not – just trying to play nose tackle. Like, if McGee can't rush the quarterback, play nose tackle. Like, I've heard interviews with him, and he's basically said he doesn't really want to play nose tackle. But if you can't rush the quarterback, what's the point?
Well, he's going to play some nose, just like Ziggy Hood's going to play some nose. In the Sans-Phil Taylor world, Terrell McClain's going to be over top the center at times. They're going to have to kick Jonathan Allen inside, even though he won't spend a lot of time there. They're going to keep seven, I think. I don't think they'll only keep six, but here's your numbers. Hood is in. McGee is in. McClain is in. Allen is in. Ioannidis is in. That's five. And then I would say Lanier, who's a high upside kid, is in. That's six. So the seventh guy in would either be Mbu or Francis. I think they keep Mbu after the Taylor injury, and he's a true nose. Whether or not he's active on game day, I have no idea. But they're going to probably have to keep a seventh defensive lineman now because there's just too much uncertainty at the position.
And the way Jim Tomsula tends to like to do it. I mean, think about this. No one knows who the starters are yet in preseason because he rotates the heck out of them. Other guys are, hey, the twos are in. The linebackers come off the field. His, quote, starting defensive lineman in week number one played well into the game. Same in week number two. This is kind of how he's going to do it. And I'm okay with that, by the way. If you don't have a stud, work in shifts.
Chris Ashburn, you're on Grant and Danny.
Chris,
you're on the fan. Go ahead. Let's go to Ivy and King George. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. I thought our defensive line was going to be a tick better, but losing our true nose tackle definitely makes it a tick worse than last year, especially without Chris Baker. But I was wondering what you guys thought about Ioannidis at nose tackle. I saw a couple games in the preseason. He got a good push up the middle.
Appreciate you. Look, he's going to get a shot. Yeah. He's got to. He was not, when he was drafted, viewed as a traditional nose. He's also not a big guy, really, in terms
he's
of
bigger
weight.
Now, though. He's bulked up a little bit.
A little bit, but he's basically, I think he's listed at 6'3", 300. You know, a guy like Stacy McGee is 15, 20 pounds heavier than that. Joey Embu's listed 30-plus pounds heavier than that. Now, you can be a 300-pound nose tackle. Barry Cofield was about 305 and played nose and used quickness. He's quicker than Matt Ioannidis is. But is Ioannidis worse at it than anyone else who's going to be asked to do it? Probably not. The one thing you got to say for Ioannidis, Danny, is that this preseason he looks completely different than he did last year.
Yeah, it looks like he belongs. Whereas I felt right. Like last year I go, what is this? Why yes. are we wasting our time on this guy? Because I remember when he was drafted out of Temple, people celebrated the pick, and I'm going, you mean the guy that was invisible in whatever level of football that was?
Right.
And never stood out once? Come on.
AD and Sterling, who may have won the sundress party. Me and AD Danny and both Sterling loved here. Our time chatting with AD. What's up,
What's
buddy?
Up, dude?
Hey, man. It was great meeting you guys, man. I had a blast. I'm really glad.
Glad you came. It was good seeing you.
Not a problem. So I got to apologize for the previous call. I mean, you're punting on the season because Phil Taylor went down. But, I mean, let's just remember. I mean, it's sad. It hurt to see somebody like Phil Taylor who worked his butt off to be gone for the season. I mean, we've seen it at Niles Paul as well, but it is Phil Taylor. I mean, he's looked good in the preseason, but this is a guy that was on the streets at the end of last year. So let's pump our brakes. And I do like the way that Ioannidis, A.J. Francis, they have looked hungry. They have played well. I just think let's just pump our brakes a little bit. I know it's tough to see our nose tackle go down, but let's see after these cuts. Let's see what guys are available. Let's see who we can bring in again. This is going to be a rotational D-line. And that nose tackle was only going to play about 15, 20% of the plays anyway. So I think we'll be all right.
Thanks, AD.
Thanks,
I actually tend to agree with you on most accounts there, particularly the idea of what were the thoughts on Phil Taylor 2 months ago? No one really had these delusions of grandeur. We fell in love with him during some strong preseason performances, but this guy has not been durable. You couldn't have banked on him playing 16 times. I think at Redskins Park, they were planning all along like whatever they got out of him was a bonus. And now all of a sudden, yeah, you're dreaming a little bit on what he can turn into as a nose tackle, but we're right back to kind of where we started.
Right.
As far as one other tweet I want to address, Scott on Twitter says, can we address our kicker issue and how much that affected us last year as well? Yeah, Hopkins wasn't good enough last year. He's a high upside player, though. And in the preseason right now, he's 5-for-5 after a 3-for-3 performance against the Bengals, including three kicks longer than 40 and makes from 51, 49, and 44. He's been great this preseason.
Yeah, I don't know what addressing would you like to have? That's my only question.
Maybe
what's out
he wanted
there?
Competition. He wanted someone to come in and kick
with
him. I'd rather him kick as much as possible in the preseason. And by the way, he's perfect right now. I'm confident in Dustin Hopkins.
I mean, I whined when they got rid of Dustin, when I was calling him Dustin Forbath, Kai Forbath. And Kai Forbath had a fraction of the leg. I just cared about consistency from 43 and in. Dustin Hopkins has been better than Kai Forbath. I mean, he's been really good.
I mean, he has not been as accurate percentage-wise at those kicks you're talking about. You know, you think about the 33-yarder in overtime against the Bengals
right.
that cost him a game.
That's going to stand out.
You know, the Detroit Lions game on the carpet. But his leg is huge. He gives him a chance to actually attempt kicks from 53 and 54. He's been good from plus 50 each of his two seasons. I think we're in lockstep where we both were anti getting rid of Kai Forbath. We'd both be anti getting rid of Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, I'm out on giving up early on kickers and have him go somewhere else and be really good.
And by the way, again, he's perfect this preseason. So to call in and say, well, how are we going to address this? What are we addressing? The guy who hasn't missed in three preseason games and was 3-for-3 with a 51-yard kick a couple days ago? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Joel Corey at 11 on the Matt Stafford contract. Next, Nats fans, where you at? How good are their chances to get to and win a World Series? We'll look at the FanGraphs numbers on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.